Welcome to Dome Patrol Premier League. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Dome Patrol United Premier League podcast. It's the third episode. We hope you enjoy what we've done so far. Let's crack on with this week's show. Joining me this week, as always, is Arsenal fan and season ticket holder, Ben. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Mid-heart attack at the moment because we scheduled this game to start and then the Arsenal and Man United game finished, but Man United game's finished, but Arsenal's gone into extra time for the Americans, overtime, so I'm sitting here heart attacking. So if you hear me suddenly scream, I do apologise.
Yeah, this is like live streaming a football match. This may end badly. This might sound like an Ash sweary rant on a podcast, but also this week we have a special guest, Everton fan and season ticket holder, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, season ticket holder, Chris Coy. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm very good. And just for our American listeners, when you're watching Arsenal, it's also known as garbage time.
He's gone in with the fire straight away. Right, Chris, as you're the guest this week, got a few questions for you. On our first episode, me and Ben did this between ourselves. So, first question, why Everton?
Everton, well, I'll be honest with my answer. I grew up in the 80s in Liverpool, which, as we all know, was a very dominant time for Merseyside football. At the time, like to Jamie Carragher, a lot of people did support Everton and Liverpool because at such a young age, didn't really differentiate between the two. There wasn't really a hatred when you were young. So, you know, when Liverpool won, it was great. When Everton won, it was great. So we all celebrated together, really. I went to my first ever game was actually at Anfield, which was the Liverpool-Arsenal FA Cup game, league game, where Michael Thomas scored in the last minute to win the league.
Oh.
At Anfield, that was one of my first games.
Ben,
all right, Ben,
even,
calm down.
Ben, were you even born then?
I've read the books. I've seen the movies. That is historic. Sergio Aguero and your winner against QPR has got nothing on Mickey Thomas charging through the midfield.
So that was my first game anyway. After that, my second game was the Everton 4, Liverpool 4 FA Cup game in 91, I think, at Goodison.
So you had a hell of an introduction to live football.
I did, mate. I did, and I went to, after that, I got a season ticket in the 90s, and then you could probably say my hell of an introduction disappeared because I went through the 90s with Everton. So I remember the last day of relegation against Wimbledon, Coventry, Walter Smith, Howard Kendall's return. And then after the 2000s, I was pretty much spoilt with David Moyes then, really. And
spoilt and David Moyes is not really a sentence you would hear these days. But
you do with Everton.
You're looking back at the days. Yeah, to be fair, Moisey was a good manager at Everton.
Yeah, we were consistent. We were top, you know, fighting for Europe. I think we finished outside the top six like once or twice with Moyes. And I think we finished 17th with Rooney and finished fifth or sixth the year after without him. So that money went into a lot of good players like Arteta, Cahill, players like that. So it was used, you know, Tim Howard was another one.
Sweet,
so yeah, that's Everton for me, yeah.
Cool. Okay. So next question is, who's your favourite ever Everton player and why?
Oh, I wasn't expecting that one.
No, I've thrown these at you without giving you any time to prep, really. But
was it Theo Walcott?
Yeah, Alex Iwobi. I think my favourite Everton player of all time, someone that made me. Someone who's the epitome of wearing the Everton badge was Tim Cahill for me, I think. Duncan Ferguson, very close second.
Where does Mikel Arteta rank?
top five.
With Everton fans. Is that well regarded of Everton fans, is he?
Well, I can't speak for every Everton fan, but definitely for me, top five. But I think Tim Cahill was just he just defied gravity, Tim Cahill. I mean, so you watch some of the headers he scored back in the day and the celebrations and the passion. He epitomised what it means to wear the Everton shirt. And Phil Neville's up there as well. I thought Phil Neville had a massive contribution to Everton as well at a certain time. But Tim Cahill, if I had to nail one down. Definitely.
Okay, cool. And then the final one. This one might be just as difficult, to be honest. Your favourite ever goal?
Oh...
Now, this can be one you've seen live or one you've seen on the TV, or you can do one of each.
Okay, I think the favourite goal a game I wasn't at was Graham Sharp's volley against Liverpool in the derby in the 80s. About 35 yards out.
84, 85, yeah.
I still say to this day that's the greatest goal ever scored at Anfield. Fact. I think also a second goal where I was there was Barry Horn's goal against Wimbledon, but I think Hans Sagers might have been on the take.
It might have been.
No, that has not been confirmed for any lawyers listening. That's just subjective. And also I would say my favourite goal ever at a game was Duncan Ferguson's header against United to put us into the Champions League. I think the roof nearly came off.
Was that the game where Gary Neville got sent off for booting the ball into the crowd?
Probably, or whinging, one or two. Duncan Ferguson's header at Goodison against United.
I met Duncan Ferguson once, actually, right? He was an absolute gent.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he was an absolute gent. I met, random story, I was at Birmingham Airport coming back off holiday one time and the Newcastle players arrived back from somewhere. So the entire Newcastle team was there and it was when Bobby Robson was a manager. So you had Rob Lee, Gary Speed, Alan Shearer, Duncan Ferguson, Kieran Dyer. Got to meet all of them. Duncan Ferguson.
Patrick Kluivert.
No, not Patrick Kluivert. Duncan Ferguson was sound and was happy to talk to you, have his picture taken, you know, stuff like that. Alan Shearer, miserable twat.
You never.
Oh, I hate the bloke.
Never.
Hate the bloke.
You wouldn't get that off his TV.
No. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I had a Man United shirt on at the time, so that's probably why he wasn't keen to talk to me. But miserable. He was the only one that wouldn't. Bobby Robson was an absolute gent as well.
Typical fucking English fan going abroad in your football shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right, that's enough. Yeah, go on,
mate. Can I just quickly remind Ben of the Wayne Rooney goal over David Seaman's head?
I'm very surprised you didn't say that. I was expecting that one to turn up.
He left us, so he's dead to me, Ben.
I would like to remind Ben of Wayne Rooney being tripped by Sol Campbell in the 50th unbeaten game.
He wasn't tripped though; he dived. Let's be honest.
Anyway, right, we've gone on enough. We've gone on enough. Right, so. Slate of games last week. Now, Chris, one of the main reasons we've got you on this week is that you played Arsenal last week and you're playing Man United this week. So, slap bang right in the middle of mine and Ben's team. So, I mean, obviously, Ben, you were there on Sunday, weren't you? You went?
I was. A lot warmer this week, thank God.
So give us your thoughts, Ben, first on being at the game live. And then, Chris, you watched it
on the telly?
Yeah.
Initial thoughts, Everton got the early goal, started well. I thought we grew into the game in the first half. I think the last 25 minutes in the first half, we really dominated, and that's where we got 2-1 up. Stupid mistakes, conceding and make it go 2-2 just before half time. And then in the third half, we got the third goal. It was all Everton. Everton absolutely completely outplayed us in the second half. We could have potentially put the game to bed in the first half when we were on top. But I think the fact that it's our third game in 7 days and Everton coming off their winter break, you kind of really saw a difference in energy between the players. I got to admit, I really did look at Everton and thought this is a good team and they're going to go places under Ancelotti. Really well organised. I think he's going to get a lot of production out of Calvert-Lewin, to be fair. Richarlison's a little shitbag, but if he was on my team, I'd love him. Yeah, it's also good to see Andre Gomez come on as well after coming back from a horrific injury. So it was good to see that.
Chris?
Over to me.
Yeah, over to you. Your thoughts as an
Everton I fought for the neutral on a Sunday afternoon. Sometimes Sunday afternoons are filled with boring 0-0 games, but I thought all the games last Sunday were fantastic. A lot of goals. I think there was 3 goals by each home team last weekend as well.
Yeah.
The negatives for me, as an Everton fan, I always start with the negatives. I thought the defender was poor. You know, Iwobi came into the game preaching about how much he'll show Arsenal what they're missing. But I think Arsenal fans probably came away wondering if he was actually playing, to be honest with you. There was no cover on the right-hand side. I think, you know, we missed Lucas Digne at left-back, although Leighton Baines is a fantastic left-back and have been a fantastic servant to Everton. He's obviously the wrong side of 30 now, and we missed that influence on the left-hand side with Lucas Digne. Not taking our chances. I think we had 17 shots to Arsenal's 9, but only had 5 on target. Class in finishing from Arsenal is a difference for me at the end of the day. You know, that Aubameyang, you know, give him a sniff of goal and you're going to be 1-0 down or he's going to score 9 times out of 10.
Having that striker really does make a big difference, doesn't it? That can take the
well,
one
it does. One. Well, yeah, I mean, Everton have lost, and we won't go too much off track, but Everton have lost that since Lukaku left. You know, you put Lukaku on your team, you're 1-0 up before you start. You get like 28 goals a season in 28 games a season, you're 1-0 up already. So Everton have missed that for the last couple. We've never replaced them. Spent a lot of money but never replaced them. I think we scored a bit too early at the Emirates, if that can happen. I
thought that as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you score too early, it changes the game plan, and sometimes that can backfire because you kind of go on the back foot a little bit.
What really woke us up, I think, was Bukayo Saka coming on for Kolasinac. Yeah. He was a real spark down that left-hand side for the first half. Then, like I said again, in the second half, you just saw us fatigue after how many games we played. You know, we played in Athens on Thursday, and then we didn't get back until Friday lunchtime, Friday afternoon, and then we're playing again on Sunday. So it was really a quick turnaround for the guys, and you saw that in the second half. So I think just for us, just get 3 points and get out of there was just a fantastic result.
Exactly. I've been to Greece a few times, and that jet lag's horrible, Ben. It's like, you know, you can't sleep for days. Such a long way away. But anyway, you can't. At the end of the day, you can't concede 3 goals away from home and expect to win. On the positives, though, Calvert-Lewin scoring again. I think Duncan Ferguson brought in the 4-4-2 formation back to basics. It was evident all throughout the season from Evertonian to the ground. Calvert-Lewin needs somebody up top of him to kind of stretch the back four a little bit and give him space and opportunities. And I think we can all see that. How someone like Marco Silva on 80 grand a week can't see it, or he's too stubborn to change things. That really, really limited Calvert-Lewin. But the reins have been taken off him a little bit now, and he's starting to kind of show the type of striker he can be. I thought Andre Gomez coming back, you know, what's really impressive about Gomez as well is the time scale he came back in. I mean, that was an horrendous injury. And to come back just gives credit to the Everton medical staff and obviously the scientific breakthroughs in football where players can recover that quickly. As Ben said, I did think we outplayed them second half. The positives for me as well is the fact that Everton come away from the Emirates disappointed and not battered for me is a massive statement of how far we've come.
How far we've dropped off.
Yeah, Ancelotti's not bought anyone yet. He's come in and he's kind of, rather than panic buying, he's come in and said, no, you know, look, these players have a chance. Show me what you can do, and then we'll assess at the end of the season. But as I say, I thought it was a really good game. It could have gone either way, and Calvert-Lewin's header at the end that just skimmed off the post. I thought that fully deserved to go in.
Burnt Leno's point blank save. Oh,
yeah.
That was just sensational.
All in all, good game. And but these next 4 games, I think, are season defining. We've got Arsenal, Man United, Chelsea, and Liverpool. I thought we had to come away with at least 6 to 9 points to keep that.
Yeah! Come on!
Oh.
I think Olympiacos have scored,
Ben.
I think Arsenal might
not getting beat, aren't they?
Sorry. Aubameyang's just scored a beautiful goal. Great work from Martinelli. Half a chance, and he's just smashed it into the top corner.
So there you go, everybody. Yeah, even though we're not live streaming this, you have just heard Ben celebrating a goal live. So,
human being.
Right, okay. He's going to leave you in the summer. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. So, rest of the games from the weekend then. Saturday morning, Chelsea v Spurs. Anybody got any thoughts on that game? I mean, my only thought is Mourinho has started moaning after... How long has he been there? 2.5 months?
Mourinho is a washed-up Finnish manager. You know, his ex-players are taking him apart now in the game. And, yeah, it's a joke now, really, Mourinho. You're finished. You haven't adapted. You had your time. It's time to... I love it because he's at Spurs. It's hilarious. It's absolutely hysterical. He's going to burn that club down. It's brand new stadium, and he's going to take him down. Well, not down, but you know what I mean. There's going to be a drop off there now, I think. And you're going to see him free fall, I think, for the rest of the season because of injuries. And also, thought on that game is VAR. How can it be so wrong?
Yeah.
What the VAR?
Yeah, I mean, Ben, we went into VAR quite a lot last week. Chris, what are your thoughts on VAR and its implementation so far this season? And is it working?
Overall with the Chelsea, I thought it was a good performance by Chelsea, but it's one of the poorest Tottenham performances I've seen of the season, to be honest with you. I think Tottenham came into the game either looking for a point or not to get hammered. They have got massive injuries going on. But at the same time, you know, Mourinho's career was kind of built on getting the best out of teams and having a really good relationship with players. But he's lost something. He's lost the charisma, Mourinho, the last 5 or 6 years or so. It's just not the same for me anymore. The VAR argument for me, VAR for me was brought in to kind of stop the hand of God occurring again. You know, it was for clear and obvious.
Clear and obvious.
Or as I read on the internet the other day, the hand of frog, which was the Thierry Henry handball against Ireland, which I quite liked
that title. Forgotten about that one.
I don't know what you're on about.
So VAR was brought in for me to kind of, you know, the clear and obvious errors. I mean, how somebody could look at that Lo Celso stamp.
Oh. Unbelievable.
15 different angles, and then he was the only person in the whole country that didn't think that was either a yellow or a red.
I was in a room with 10 or 15 people, and it literally took us a second to look at it the second time around and go, red card. And I was exactly. And do I say I was shocked it wasn't given a red card? I'm not shocked because I don't know what it's a bit like the old NFL catch rule. What is a red card these days?
Yeah. It seems to be at the moment with the VAR, it's this all or nothing approach, like a kid with a new toy, you know what I mean? But I think it's very much in like a development stage at the moment. It should be, you know, the way it's used for offsides at the moment is absolutely ridiculous. We may as well get rid of linesmen, to be honest with you, because, you know, it's like there's been a few incidents this year that I can just pick out the top of my head. I think it was the one with Pookie versus Tottenham.
Yeah,
when his shoulder was just offside. The Giroud one last week, where his toe was offside, was ridiculous. And I think there was a Wolves player where his finger was 1 inch ahead of the Liverpool defender at Anfield when he went to take the lead. You know, it's not being used for the right reasons at the moment.
It should be used for clear and obvious mistakes. Also, you shouldn't be able to flag someone offside if the part of their body that's offside is not a part they're able to score a goal with, such as your armpit, you know, your hand. You can't score with that. Yeah. So
technically, your arm is the only thing that you, of part of your body that you can't score a goal with. But it's like you said, Chris, before, that Giroud one. I know it favoured Man United a couple of weeks ago, but his foot was offside.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I know he scored with his head, but technically, that's offside to me.
Yeah, because it's a part of the body you can score with, so it's offside.
You made the perfect point, Chris, then, and you said there's no point having linesmen if it's going to be measured like that, because there's no way on earth a linesman is going to be able to have the conviction to call that knowing they've made the right decision. It's a guess.
Yeah.
For a linesman, it's a guess.
Do you want to have a quick guess? Do you want to have a quick guess before VAR was introduced? How many decisions, a percentage of decisions by officials were right? Okay, Ben.
I'd probably go 72.
82.
82, yeah. I thought it was okay. I thought it was quite high.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, with VAR, it's gone up to 95, but at what cost?
A lot.
At the cost of, at the cost of the entertainment factor for fans. Yeah. Okay, at the cost of, you know, spoiling the, you know, it's for me, it kind of spoils the experience when we score a Goodison, now everyone cheers for 10
yeah, seconds. Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, hang on.
Wait a minute. Let's look at the screens. Yeah.
You know, I've not been to a Premier League game yet this season, so I haven't experienced that. But that's the thing that winds me up the most. It's taken, you know, as well as I do, that scoring a goal, or when you're a fan, celebrating a goal is spontaneity, isn't it? It's the excitement and...
As you just heard.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you'll take the odd ones that don't go against you and even themselves out. As a fan, you'll take that. That's fine. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But just to sum up that then quickly, you know, that Lo Celso came down, they said it come down to a human error. Okay. So they've got a TV screen installed on the side of the pitch. The referee did not go over to that at any point to look at that. Maguire, before that, kicked. I don't know if he was trying to stop the guy falling on him. But Maguire kicked the guy basically in the crotch. Yeah, and it wasn't looked. At the end of the day, with VAR, the way I'd sum it up is the game's fairer. I get that. And the decisions are right, whichever way you want to look at it. Mm. But, you know, for is it an improved viewing experience for the fans? No.
Absolutely.
The way I'd change it was I'd have a free challenge rule, a bit like the NFL. I'd have a 1 minute limit to make decisions, and I'd have it used on penalties, goals, mistaken identity through red cards, or to capture off the ball incidents and act like a fair die. You know, not a pick on every minor detail. I think it definitely needs to be done. It needs to be used. But as I say as well, it's only been used in the top leagues. And I always thought football prided itself on being the same from the top league down to Sunday league.
Inclusive.
And it's creating a bit of divide now. Yeah. The way it's used for offside is ridiculous. And as I say to you, you celebrate a goal now and you question your celebration, which for me is not what football's about.
No.
So, yeah.
Right, okay, so we'll rattle through the rest of the games from last weekend now. So Palace, Newcastle, 1-0 to Palace. Not really a surprise to me. Newcastle
2-1 Olympiacos.
Oh dear.
Anyway, back to Palace v Newcastle, Chris.
I can't believe that.
You just suffer in silence, Ben. Me and James are talking.
Yeah, we'll just talk, Ben. You have a cry to yourself.
Yeah, Palace, Newcastle, I see the stat the other day, actually, that Palace are 3 points better off than last season, 33 points from 27 games, which is the best ever return. So, for Palace fans, I mean, they haven't won the best seasons they've had for a while, but they're so poor to watch. I mean, they came to Goodison the other week, and it was really, really was poor. I think that was the first win this year for them as well. I thought that was always going to be a low-scoring game, Palace Newcastle, and it kind of took a really. It was a great free kick from Van Aanholt to break that deadlock. But two really poor teams. Palace have been really poor.
So next game is Burnley v Bournemouth, and Burnley, who are actually flying at the moment, 3-0 victors over Bournemouth.
VAR again.
I've just wrote that, Ben, straight away. VAR again. I think it was Adam Smith used his shoulder to control the ball and clear it, and then Bournemouth broke down the other end. I think it was 1-1, but they ended up giving a penalty down the other end, and Jay Rodriguez scored. And I think Bournemouth had a goal disallowed at 0-0 as well.
Yeah, they did.
But Bournemouth have been... Oh, I don't know what's going on with Bournemouth. I think their away record this year is something like played 10, won 1, drew 1, lost 8 and conceded 18 goals. You know, I mean, that's... But a team like Bournemouth, you need to be going away and getting it tighter, you know, especially in the position they're in. And Burnley are always stronger home, to be honest. Burnley are a tough away game, so... I don't think that flattered Burnley, that score, really, to be honest. That was quite expected.
Yeah. For me, Bournemouth are in trouble. I think they're going to go down.
Yeah.
So, Sheffield United... Sheffield United against Brighton, finished 1-1. A bit of a disappointing result for Sheffield United fans, I would have thought.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, they've had a fantastic season. I mean, 40 points with 11 games left. I think Chris Wilder, for me, is manager of the season, no doubt. Even if Klopp goes unbeaten, I think Chris Wilder, for me, is manager of the season. I think Sheffield United had a lot of the ball that afternoon, but I think they were. I think Brighton just went to frustrate them. I think they had like double the amount of passes Brighton had as well. I think they had something like 532 passes to Brighton's 220. So you could tell Brighton were quite happy not to have the ball, but still great point away from home for Brighton. Really good.
No, it is. Southampton v Villa. Southampton won 2-0 at home. I think Villa's mind is on the
getting beat on Sunday.
Yeah, on getting and trying not to get hammered in the League Cup final on Sunday. Villa, they're a bit of a weird team. They can have a good week, a good result one week, and a bad result the next week. But they are right in the thick of the relegation battle, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Southampton for me though have been the last 10 games. I think the third overall in the form table over the last 10 games, like 1-6, drew 1-loss 3. I mean, that's a fantastic return for them.
They were really struggling before Christmas. Yeah,
they were really poor. I mean, Danny Ings has come on a lot, and they just look like a completely different team. I think Villa looked good early season, but they really have fell away drastically. I think they're conceding nearly two a game on average, and in the Premier League, you can't concede two goals a game on average and expect to get relegated, aren't you?
You're going to get relegated with that.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
I think Villa are very, very lucky that there's been a lot of teams that have been poor this year.
Yeah. But they're going to need to be worse between now and the end of the season.
Don't get me wrong, Villa. The way the Premier League's been this year, Villa could win the next five games, end up in the Champions League. It's probably that tight. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
But fair play to Southampton. Fair play to Southampton.
Yeah.
Very good.
Leicester against Man City, which was the Saturday night game. Man City won 1-0, and there was VAR controversy. Leicester didn't have.
Did you know it was the same VAR referee for the Chelsea Spurs game as it was for the Leicester Man City game?
That doesn't surprise me at all. But basically, Leicester took a free kick, and I think it was Kevin De Bruyne stopped it with his hand that was up by his face. It went to VAR, and they decided that it wasn't a penalty because his hand wasn't in an unnatural position. Whereas in the second half, Gundogan had a shot from outside the box, which a Leicester player turned his back and the ball hit him kind of like armpit, top of the back of his arm. Went to VAR and he gave the penalty. Now, to me, that should have been the other way around. One, the first one was a penalty. The second one, you could argue, wasn't a penalty. I mean, it didn't matter because Man City missed the penalty at the end of the day. But even so, the inconsistency of the decision making in that game was hard to watch.
Yeah, for Man City, haven't been doing very well on penalties.
Have they missed 7 of 9?
I think they've missed like 6 of 9 or something.
Something like that.
So, and you think with their players, I mean, it's not hard to score from 12 yards out, is it?
No.
I mean, it's 12 yards. Yeah, I can't remember. That sounds not right anyway. But yeah, I think it was a late Jesus, whatever you want to pronounce it. I think City dominated possession. I have been really impressed with Leicester this year, and I was a bit disappointed for Brendan Rodgers, even with the Liverpool ties when he became free. I thought he'd be a perfect manager for someone like Everton, but we ended up with someone better anyway.
But now
City tight game, but City's just come through.
Cool. Not sure we need to dwell on this one very much. Wolves 3, Norwich 0. I think we've all said and we've all think that Norwich are down this year. Wolves, again, they flatter to deceive a bit. One week they're really good, the next week they're not so good. But obviously I think they're being affected by the Europa League at the moment. They haven't quite got the squad strength to play Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah, no surprise with the results. I'm a big fan of Wolves. I like the style of play and the players they've bought for players on a budget as well. Really, really good team. As I say, Norwich are down for me now. I think they're 6 points off Villa, but I just can't see where them two wins are coming from, to be honest, at the moment for Norwich. I'm not sure what the run of fixtures they've got till the end of the season, but for me, if I had to put money on it, I'd put money on Norwich being down now.
Yeah,
no surprise in that result at all.
No. I there's not really much for me to say about this one. United beat Watford 3-0. It's about time that United actually put in a bit of a performance in the league. We went to Watford just before Christmas and shit the bed, basically. They hadn't won for 17 games and we went there and lost 2-0. The big thing for me to take from that game is just what a difference Bruno Fernandes has made to the team. He's a creative player who likes to get on the ball, make things happen, and is always looking to pass the ball forward. And that's not something we've had in our midfield for a while. Okay, and the final game this week, Monday Night Football, was Liverpool against West Ham. And I think for a second, I thought West Ham were going to do something in that game. There was me and Chris, we were texting during the game, weren't we? And we were just like, is this finally going to happen? Alas, it did.
I think for the whole season this year, I had 4 minutes of optimism. That's it. and then I looked on the sidelines and seen that David Moyes was given the tactical instructions, and I thought, oh, this is not going to last long.
No.
Lo and behold, Fabianski decided to open his legs wide open and gift Liverpool.
That's so unlike Fabianski as well. He's been quite good. He's been quite good recently. So yeah,
has he been quite good?
He has been quite good. He's been a solid keeper for quite a few years now at West Ham, and then when he was at Swansea before. So it's but that's unforgivable. Then?
Well, to be honest with you, Ben, if Fabianski is your idea of a solid keeper, then you're quite welcome to him.
I like Fabianski. I think Fabianski is a good keeper.
Yeah, maybe it's Well, I don't watch that much of him to make a judgment on that. But I mean, from what I've seen, it was just a terrible mistake. It was awful. But
yeah,
it's what you get when you're top of the league. You get the little run-ins and then little bits of luck.
What is it? So. They need five more wins now, don't they, to win the league?
Oh, and then
let's just hope it's not a Goodison.
Is that the fifth game, Chris? Is that the fifth game?
Yeah, I've actually had Liverpool fans offer me £450 for the ticket.
Jesus. I would hope you would rather have the seat empty in the stadium than give it to a Liverpool fan.
Well, funny enough, I came across a bit of money. I won't tell you where it's from. I'm in Tenerife that week.
Are you?
No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No, I would.
Did it cost you about £450 quid by any chance?
Yeah, it was funny enough, £449. All inclusive.
Okay,
funny. No, to be honest with you, I would never in a million... I was tempted, but I would never in a million years give the fans satisfaction.
Is there money that would get you to sell that ticket to a Liverpool fan? What would it take?
What would it take?
So say somebody said, I'll give you £1,000.
What would it... No.
No, too low.
If they haven't won the league for 30 years, they will never.
Hang on, if someone's got £1,000 floating in their pocket in Liverpool, something's not right.
No one said it was a legal grand.
No, nobody's. Nobody said it.
Right. It cost £10,000. I'll consider it.
£10,000, right? If any Liverpool fans are listening to this, get in touch with either me or Ben on Twitter and we'll pass your number on to Chris and he'll happily sell you his ticket for £10,000.
If there's any rich Scandinavians listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Brighton versus Man City last game of the season last year. Obviously, title on the line as well in that game between Liverpool and City. And there were City fans that are in and around Brighton asking people, saying, look, I've got £500 cash. Will you give me the ticket? I got a ticket, a freebie off a mate, and I was like, oh, do I just cash in? But obviously it's different now. It's not paper tickets, it's on like cards and stuff. So now I ended up sitting down watching Liverpool miss out on the league. It was fantastic.
But you could have had £500 in your Skyrocket.
I could have, but it weren't my tickets to sell.
No.
Yeah. The problem with that is what you've got to be really careful with is that if Everton Football Club find out that you've sold your ticket for safety fears to away fans like that, you can get your season ticket rescinded.
Yeah.
So is it worth it?
No,
you know, with the new stadium coming, and I've got obviously got a baby on the way soon. I want to keep my season ticket for my kids and myself. Yeah, so it's not worth any amount of money to lose that or potentially lose it. Yeah. So, cool.
So that kind of concludes the roundup of last week's games. Let's jump on to this week's games. Chris, we'll do the United Everton preview last. Apparently, there's a game tomorrow night, Norwich against Leicester.
Oh,
I think Norwich have got to win that.
It's not happening.
They've got to win it, haven't they? But yeah, I think I'm with you, Ben. I can't see Norwich beating Leicester. Brendan Rodgers is too cute and too clever, and Leicester have got some good players. I mean, Madison's going back to Norwich. That's where Leicester bought him from. I can't see anything other than
okay. Joe, I'm going to go against you, both of you. I'm going to go against both of you on that one. I was just thinking.
They have done all right against big teams at Carrow Road before this season.
Yeah.
So, but I know, I just see Leicester.
Do you think Norwich going to win, Chris? Or are you saying...
I think they might, I can see Norwich nicking a 2-1, 1-0. Yeah.
Okay. Villa Sheffield United is postponed because of the League Cup final. Now, Ben, you might have to explain this to me. It's Brighton Crystal Palace this weekend.
The M23 derby.
They don't like each other. Why?
No. It's all to do with back in the 80s and a manager celebrating in front of fans, I think. It's the most pathetic derby. It's not even a fucking derby. You know, it's unfortunately, where I live, I'm situated right in between Palace and Brighton, and it is literally the M23 derby. No, it is not a derby. They hate each other for no reason because they're two small clubs want to shout out.
It is real dislike, isn't it?
They hate each other. Yeah. You go down to Brighton on match day, Palace versus Brighton, it's crawling with police. They hate each other.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
A random one. I mean, to me, as it's
at Brighton, cracking atmosphere. I've been to a Brighton Palace game at the Amex, and it's a cracking atmosphere. Don't get me wrong; it's loud. It is very loud and hostile, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think that's got Brighton win written all over it.
At the Amex, is that the Amex?
It is.
Yeah, I think Brighton need a win. They kind of always get close to this relegation zone, then they get a win and get out of it. So I think this is where Brighton pick a win up.
Yeah.
Chris? I think Palace away from home are a lot better than at Selhurst Park. Palace usually put up a good fight away from home. Brighton are one of them teams where they can turn up and really put a performance in, or they can be absolutely awful some weeks. If I was going to put a back on it, I'd go for the score draw. 1-1, 2-2.
Okay, that's the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, so I'll be sure to make sure I'm out when that's on because I don't really fancy watching that one.
I'll watch that.
Yeah. Not tempted to head down there?
No, I'm heading down there a week after next for when Arsenal go down.
Are you in the home end or the away end?
Oh, I possibly can't tell you that. Obviously, season ticket holders can't sell their fans, can't sell tickets to away fans.
Okay. So you're
he's in the Falcons end.
He's in the Falcons end. Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right. Bournemouth versus Chelsea. See, now, Chelsea, they announced today that Tammy Abraham's injured, didn't they? So...
they got Giroud.
Again, so they've got Giroud playing up front. I just think Bournemouth are really, really struggling at the moment. Chelsea, I mean, I know they got hammered by Bayern Munich last night in the Champions League, but, yeah, that's a away win. Away win.
Yeah, I mean the Premier League. The beauty of the Premier League is that it just throws up some ridiculous scores sometimes. You know, I mean, I think Chelsea got beat at home by. Didn't Bournemouth beat Chelsea away?
Yes, they always tend to go to Bridge.
They did. See, someone turned around to me tomorrow and said, "Oh, Bournemouth beat them 1-0." I wouldn't be surprised. Do you know what I mean? Even though I would be.
So
I think some of these games on the weekend, you know, you look at these teams that are odds on, but you know, Bournemouth could come out of something with that because they could put up a performance and just out of the blue, just turn up and get stuck into them. But if you're gonna go with form and you're gonna go with team, then yeah, away win. But again, I would not be surprised with a score draw there as well.
Okay.
You can tell I lose loads of accumulators, can't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, you go against the usual conventional wisdom. That's yeah. how you make your money on an ACCA, though, so...
No, I don't, mate. I click all the 1s to 4s, and they still come coming.
Yeah. Never bet on your own team in an ACCA, either.
No,
yeah, let's not go into Cheltenham letting me down the other week, mate.
Yeah, let's not go into that one, no. This is not the League Two podcast. This is the Premier League podcast. Newcastle at home to Burnley. You said before that there was a game where you thought there was going to be a score draw. I think that's got score draw written all over it as well.
That's got nil-nil written all over it.
Okay. No point really 4-4. On that one then, is there? Yeah, that means that's...
I'll go 4-4.
5-5-5 winner.
It's going to turn into that. Yeah. Now, I'm going to go boring draw in that one.
Okay. West 4-1. Ham home to Southampton.
Southampton nicking away win.
I got a feeling for Southampton getting an away win there as well.
Danny Ings getting a brace. Helps my fantasy team.
Yeah, I'll go 2-0 Southampton on that.
Yeah. Watford, Liverpool. Anybody see anything other than Liverpool win there?
What's the point?
Yeah.
Liverpool might be resting players for Champions League midweek.
I still can't see them. Still can't see Watford winning.
Do you know what though? If there's any team at the moment that can kind of give Liverpool not beat them necessarily, but give them a tough game. Watford is the kind of team you don't really want to be playing away. You know, the tough physical team. They get any
lost,
goal,
they've lost that spark.
They had that
bounce when Pearson took over, but they've kind of dropped off a little bit again now. So even if Liverpool do rotate, it's going to be an easy win.
I'm going to go 3-0 Watford anyway.
just like I will never back the Falcons on our podcast, Ben, I can't back Liverpool. So yeah, Watford.
Yeah, 12-0. That's kind of an unwritten rule, isn't it?
Watford 12-0, boys, 12-0. Ben, your game's been postponed because obviously you're supposed to be playing City this weekend.
We are playing Monday night though.
Yeah, in the FA Cup, isn't it?
FA Cup, fifth round. Yeah.
Who's that against?
Portsmouth away.
Ooh, Portsmouth 3-0. Yeah. Okay, so...
After tonight. Yeah.
Are you out, Ben, by the way?
Yes, we are out.
You're out.
Aubameyang. Chris put the kiss of death. Aubameyang has just missed an absolute sitter in the last kick of the game.
So hang on, but that would have meant that they'd have gone through on away goals?
They've gone through on away goals, yes.
Oh, so you'd have actually won the game tonight 3-2?
No. We would have won the game tonight.
Yeah. So what did it finish? 3-2 in did it finish 2-2?
It finished 2-1. No, 2-1 Olympiacos.
2-1 Olympiacos. Sorry.
So it would have finished 2-1.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. We would have gone through.
Oh, that's 3-2.
That's the Champions League hopes dash then.
Yep.
100%.
It is.
Right. Anyway, it was a building block this year. Hey, I just want to go back. It was a building block to the end of the season. Was just to get foundations for Arteta. And we'll go again next year and we'll see what it's all about. Yeah, it's a big, long pre-season.
I am seeing sixth place at best next year. But we'll talk about that in the off-season. Right, so two games left this weekend. Sunday, Tottenham against Wolves.
Ooh, Wolves.
That's going to be a draw. I think that's going to be a draw.
17-1 Wolves.
Okay.
Yeah. Give Tottenham a goal.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got Lucas Moura on my fantasy team, so
I can't see Tottenham scoring. I don't know where the goal's going to come from for them at the moment. Can I see Wolves scoring? Probably not. So maybe
yes. What?
Maybe it's got a nil-nil written all over it. As
you
well,
can't see Wolves scoring. Diego Jota is an absolute form at the moment.
Right, I don't know.
Raul Jimenez.
I don't know if any
the
of
difference away from home though. I don't know.
Yeah. But have a look and see if you can find Pedro Neto's miss for Wolves tonight in the Europa League.
I don't. I've had to sit
I'll describe it to you. He goes through one-on-one with the keeper. So the keeper comes rushing out. And he takes it round the keeper about 25 yards from goal. And he literally has an open goal and he puts it 3 yards wide. He's right in the middle of the goal as well. Like, literally right in the middle of the goal, and he goes 3 yards wide. Shocking. Ugh. Shocking. Yeah.
The thing is with Tottenham, though, it's like, can you see Mourinho putting tactics out that will score past Wolves? No. Can you see Mourinho putting tactics out that will stop Wolves from scoring? Yes. That's what he'll probably do.
Yeah. Draw.
So, you know, so maybe, yes, maybe it's maybe a 1-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not hyping this up, Chris, at all, but this is probably the biggest game of the weekend for both teams.
Oh, it is, yeah.
For both teams. Yeah. So, Everton host United. Are you going?
I will be there for my sins. Yes, okay. I will be there.
United have a strange record at Goodison, I would say. They seem to win 1 year, but then get hammered the next year. Win 1 year, get hammered the next year. So obviously last year we went to Goodison and got beat 4-0, 5-0, 4-0.
4-0, yeah, it was.
I remember 4-0. That. Yeah. That was class.
Yeah, 4-0 last year. One of the things that surprises me this season is United's first chance this year to win three games back-to-back. Now, for a club the size of United, that's unheard of.
Yeah, no, it is.
Isn't it?
No, it is completely.
I think we've won one of the last five against you. I think we've... I think we won 4-0, but I think it's been what draws the other time, and I think you've beat us the other three.
Yeah, of the last five games, it's two draws, two wins for us, and a win for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've 15 goals in five games, so I'm expecting a 2-2 Sunday. High score draw.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing for us is that Anthony Martial got injured in training yesterday. He obviously didn't play tonight, and there is a chance that he's not going to be fit to play on Sunday, which means we will have to start with Odion Ighalo up front. Now, he scored tonight, and he is getting up to fitness, but Martial's been in really good form recently, and he has a really good record against Everton.
Yeah. I'm really happy you said that he's not playing. That's given me a little bit more confidence.
Is Martial injured?
He got injured in training yesterday.
Oh, fantasy. Yeah.
But yeah, he does have a good record against Everton. Scores against most times they play.
I still haven't forgiven him. I think it was the semi-final a few years back. Me and my now wife went to that game, and I said to him, do you want to go and get a quick drink before extra time? As I was walking down the stairs, I kind of looked up and seen Martial tucking one into the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah,
and I went, we're going home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I got home about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't think I said a word all the way home. I've got very fond memories of Anthony.
I don't think he's going to play.
Good. But, you know, that Fernandez has been, you know, I think he has as much of an impact as someone like Gomez. You know, he's that player that can kind of dictate the pace of games, control the pace. He makes Pogba look like Lee Carsley, doesn't he?
I forgot about Lee Carsley.
If our American listeners are not aware of Lee Carsley, just Google Lee Carsley and Thomas Gravesen, because I think back in the day, Real Madrid wanted to sign Lee Carsley and actually got the wrong person, and they ended up with Gravesen. That is actually a conspiracy theory that you can look into.
Yeah. The thing is the two of them looked identical as well. Carsley,
I think that's why
Gravesen.
Real Madrid got confused. They watched tape on him, and I think they wanted Carsley, but they ended up with some nut job called Gravesen, who just run around like a headless chicken.
Yeah.
I rated Thomas Gravesen.
Yeah, so I liked him. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you think it's going to be a 2-2 draw on Sunday? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to be wrong and nick a 2-1. Yeah. But I think 2-2 draw. Yeah, and I think I'll go 2-2.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough game for United. We've got a bit of confidence back, but we're just so up and down this year. I guess that's what you get from having a squad with a lot of young players in it. If you offered me a 2-2 draw now, I would snap your hands off for it. I would, because you're playing well. Ancelotti's got you organised. Goodison's always a tough place to go. Give me 2-2. I obviously want us to win, but yeah, I think I'd take a draw now if I was offered.
I'm gonna go 3-1 Everton.
Okay, you're a twat. But
I'm going to go, and I think Iwobi's going to get two, and Walcott's going to get one.
Oh, okay, there we go. There's the Arsenal connection.
Yeah, I think for Everton, I think since Duncan Ferguson came in, I think we've brought back that fear factor of coming to Goodison, and that's a psychological edge that we've got back. And now
I hate going to Goodison.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the toughest away days in the Premier League, to be honest.
Yeah. Whilst we're talking about Goodison and that, obviously you're in the process of out to start building a new stadium.
Yeah.
Do you think the essence of Goodison is going to disappear when you move to the new stadium?
I think, obviously, the feel of the place, obviously, changing location does have an effect, you know. But I think his name's Dan Myers. He's designed a lot of the NFL grounds in America. I think that's his name. You might correct me on that. But he spent a lot of time recently doing fan polls on how the Everton fans want the stadium, and I think we've kept a lot of where the Docklands are. We've kept a lot of that. That sort of architecture to kind of blend in with the local area. Okay. And it's going to be a massive redevelopment. You know, and I think also to compete at the top level now, Everton need to be looking at, you know, financial fair play. And you know, we've got this Huseman off at USM coming in. The guy who's at Arsenal, he's apparently backed Mascheri for a lot of money to buy into Everton. He sponsors Finch Farm at the moment, and he's just actually put £30 million forward just for the option to have the name and rights on the stadium. So I think if we have that new, I think it's going to be designed on that Borussia Dortmund wall, a bit like Tottenham's ground. It's going to keep that close to the stadium, close to the pitch feel. It's going to be intimidating. I don't think it's much as much Goodison's intimidating. I think the fans are intimidating at Goodison. You know, they're very close up and they get in your face. They don't make it easy for you.
How big is the new stadium?
How many
seats is it?
It's going to be 55,
I read.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
55. Cool. So cool. That's 15,000 for away fans, I think, as well.
What's happening to Goodison then? Knocked down and redeveloped, or
I think it's going to be an Aldi, to be honest. I've heard
an Aldi,
supermarket. I think there's going to be, we've just built a free sixth form college next door, so we have a free school community who do a lot of charity work. I've had a lot of awards, so there's a sixth form college next to it, so hopefully they might expand that. But as you know, nowadays it'll probably become student accommodation or something.
As a fan that's moved into a new stadium, they've got, it's crucial you get it right the way you want to be. I love the way they said they're going to keep the fans on top of the pitch like they do at Goodison already, to keep that atmosphere. Because I go to the Emirates and I'm sitting in an arena, not a stadium.
Soulless,
it's completely soulless. It's not fun. I'm seeing fucking half and half scarves everywhere, and it's just,
don't get me started on that.
And it's just not great. But that way, you know, they've seemed to take the time, hopefully, and get the Everton one right. Because Goodison I love Goodison Park. It's a historic ground, and I really want to get there before it gets knocked down and watch Arsenal play there.
Yeah,
I must admit, definitely. I've never been to watch a game. I've been to Goodison, but I've never watched a game there yet. And I'm gonna go. I'm gonna get there before it gets knocked down as well. Because I never
just let me know when you're. I was just gonna say, let me know when you're arriving, so I can let the boys know.
Park your car for a fiver, mate. Leave us the keys. Yeah, all right, mate.
That's the red side of the Stanley Park. That's not the blue side.
I read a story once of a Liverpool comedian or a comedian. I come to an Everton game once, and he was walking down the street, and a little kid came up to him and said, "Oh, can I to mind your car, mate?" And he said, "Don't worry, there's a Rottweiler in it." And the little kid said, "Can the Rottweiler put out fires, can it?" Which is quite apt. But yeah, I think they've took a lot of the stuff of the Everton fans on board, what the Everton fans have said, and they've been a massive part of the design process. So if anything Everton fans moan about it, they can't moan. because they,
they've had input.
A lot of input. Yeah.
Right, so the final subject for tonight is today the Premier League announced they are launching a Hall of Fame. I'm a bit torn, really. I'm not sure it's required for the Premier League. I mean, I know the National Football Museum has a Hall of Fame that they've been running for quite some time. But yeah, they've announced that there's going to be a Hall of Fame and they're going to be inducting two players in April as the first two inductees to the Hall of Fame. So, which two players? Not which two players do you want, which two players do you think it will be?
Okay.
I think it's going to be an English biasy. I can see this Hall of Fame being very biased towards English players.
I don't think it will be, because the Premier League has been so influenced by foreign players. Right. So the first major foreign superstar in the Premier League who kind of made the Premier League what it is Eric Cantona. He was the first real foreign Premier League superstar.
He will be inducted.
No, he's not going in first, not a chance. No way.
He's not going in ever. Not after that. Not after what he's done at Wimbledon. He can't. He got Palace. He can't go in for that just because of that.
He will go in. Ugh. It's not like. I don't think it'll be like the NFL Hall of Fame. I think it'll be completely different.
So two players then, Ben. Two players from the Premier League. Who are the first two inductees into Premier League Hall of Fame?
I think it's going to be, because obviously they've got to be retired. I would think it's going to be, Man United player.
Has to be.
I reckon it'll be Ryan Giggs.
Yeah, I agree. I think Giggs is definitely going to be the first one inducted.
And then if they're going to go, I've got a horrible feeling they're going to go for an English biasy, but for me, it's Thierry Henry, the greatest foreign players playing the Premier League.
Well, that's a subject that's up for debate.
Better than Ronaldo?
No, not better than Ronaldo.
Yes, better than Ronaldo. No. When Ronaldo was in the Premier League and Henry was in the Premier League, when they're both at their best in the Premier League, Henry was better.
Did Henry ever score 42 goals in a season? Did Henry ever
win the Champions League?
Did Henry ever win the Champions League with Arsenal? No, he shit the bed.
Did he win three back-to-back titles?
No, honestly, okay. This is another discussion online, but Thierry Henry is the best foreign player.
Right.
Thierry Henry is the best foreign player to play in the Premier League,
hands down. So you think of all of the people that have played in the Premier League, Thierry Henry is going to be one of the first inductees into the Premier League Hall of Fame?
Yes.
You genuinely believe that?
Yes.
Right, okay. Chris, go on then. Who do you think?
Thierry Henry wasn't even the best foreign player at Arsenal back then.
No, he wasn't. It was Dennis Bergkamp.
Exactly. So, I put Vieira above him as well.
Vieira and Keane, we should get going joint together. Vieira and Keane.
We have Lee Carsley. So I'd go Giggs.
Yeah.
Definitely first. And
It's players only. There's no managers, is there? There's no coaches.
They said they're inducting two ex players. Yeah.
Okay. Because if it was coaches, there'd be two coaches going in.
I'm tempted to say someone like Scholes as well, but he won't get in.
He'll get in eventually.
Yeah. So let's go for the first two, Giggs and Shearer then.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris. The highest ever Premier League goal scorer and the person who's won the most Premier League titles.
Yeah. But if it was up to me as well, I'd have Matt Letizia in there as well.
He's potential. Do you know what, though? There is potential for him to get in there at some point because of what he did at the very start of the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the first 4 years of the Premier League, he was one of the best players.
Yeah.
He was. The only thing about the Hall of Fame is you know, Liverpool fans are going to argue for Liverpool players. We've just seen an Arsenal fan argue for an Arsenal player. You know, yeah. Chris, you're probably going to... I mean, I was chatting to somebody at work today that said that Gary Speed should be considered for the Hall of Fame. longevity and stuff like that. So it's a very subjective thing, isn't it? And it's clearly you can't leave it to fans voting, because that would just be ridiculous, because you get like all sorts. You'd end up with what's his name, the George Weah's cousin that played for Southampton that one time, getting voted in just for a laugh.
I don't want to see this Hall of Fame just full of like Arsenal, Man United, Chelsea and Liverpool players.
Right, well, see, now this is, right, so...
This is where I would go and put someone like JJ Okocha in.
Right, so, on that subject then, right, the teams that have won the Premier League, you've got United, Arsenal, Blackburn, City, Chelsea,
Leicester.
And Leicester, right? So there's a very small period. You can't limit it to only people that have won the Premier League, because like it or not, Steven Gerrard's going to get in there at some point. He will. He just will.
Yeah.
Jamie Carragher may even end up getting in there at some point. Do you know what I mean?
It's not the spitting Hall of Fame.
No. But you know, there's JJ Okocha. It's a good player, but
So if we're opening it up to lower teams, who would you say?
Well, Letizia would be the first one that I would put.
I'll go for Letizia.
That's a great shout.
Would you put someone like Jermaine Defoe in?
Kevin Crouchy. Phillips.
On the sheer volume of goals they've scored in the Premier League, yes.
But then you just go by goals. What about some defenders that have been in there for a long time?
Like?
Leighton Baines, when he retires.
Well, yeah, because he will have played for Everton for what, 12 years, 13 years, something like that?
2000? So, yeah, it's like, what are you basing it on? Stats, based on length of time, a club, you're basing it on influence on club.
Yeah,
you know, someone could have come into a team that's just come up out the championship and really, really a catalyst for that team and changed the whole basis of the club and the whole
foundations.
Vardy would be in straight away when he retires. But how much of that Leicester team will get in?
Kante, Mahrez.
Exactly. It's that's the thing. It's going to be very, very subjective, and it's going to lead to a lot of
upset fans.
Debate, should we say. A lot of debate. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's quarter past 11 in the evening here at night now, and I'm getting tired, so I need to go to bed. So anything else to add, gents?
No, nothing from me. Just a pleasure to be on, and thanks for having me on. Hopefully I'll speak to you again in the near future.
Anything, Ben?
I think there was something, but I can't really remember it, to be fair. I think I'm all good.
Do you want to do the outro?
Nah, you can do it.
No, you want me to do it. Right, okay. Right, me to do it then. Right. You really have given up hosting duties for this one for me, haven't you?
Absolutely. I'm sitting on the line back.
So thanks to everybody for listening. It was quite a long episode tonight. Nothing to do with the Scouser who wouldn't shut up. But thanks for listening, everybody. You all know the drill. Follow us on Twitter, Don't Patrol Podcast UK, Don't Patrol Podcast US. Subscribe on Spotify. No, we're not on Spotify yet. Podbean. Where else are we, Ben? Where else do we live? Apple Podcasts.
Your usual podcast destinations, apps,
and all sorts of stuff like that. Follow us. I believe there's even a Facebook page now that you should follow us at. And of course, make sure you're listening out to all the other shows that we do on, obviously, the Saints, the Pelicans, LSU. What's that TV program?
Survivor.
Yeah, we do something on that. And one thing I will say is, if you like gymnastics, listen out for the LSU podcast, because Scott is well into his LSU gymnastics. So, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you all soon. Good night, boys.
Good night.
Good night, Champions League donkeys.
Ferguson, Cahill away. They'll be the danger men. Arteta's free kick. Picked up by Cavani. And Ferguson celebrates. Scored the winner. The last time Everton beat Manchester United in a Premier League match, it was 10 years ago, and Ferguson's goal means that Everton can continue living the dream. Bent in, a diving header, And where was the marking? And Everton are ahead. And that's what it means.